Despite dramatically low unemployment, new data show hope in America is a rare commodity. I'm David Brancaccio. First, we're following the eye-watering headline yesterday that consumer prices went up 7% in a year, but retail inflation did moderate some over the last month. And today, there's word that prices at the wholesale level moved up only moderately in December. That's a hint that perhaps some of the supply chain bottlenecks contributing to inflation could be easing. But the Fed will forge ahead. On Thursdays, we get a take on jobs, markets, and well-being from economist Diane Swonk at the tax and advisory firm Grant Thornton.
What we've seen is this sort of remarkable pivot from patience on inflation to panic, and the Fed is ready to move in March, even if the U.S. economy hits a hard stop in the first quarter. And they're not only just ready to lift off on interest rates. By late spring, they're talking about reducing the size of their balance sheet. They're having those discussions as they're still increasing the size of their balance sheet, which is an extraordinary U-turn for the Fed.
Now, you did say chance of a hard stop in the quarter we're living now. Really?
Yeah. This is almost like mimicking a mandated lockdown, only much messier given the acute labor shortages we're facing, just to the sheer number of people out sick alone. I mean, even essential services. And sure enough, we've seen in the most recent week leading up to this in the hottest spots, a pickup in unemployment insurance claims as people were laid off.
All right. Diane Swonk. She's the chief economist at Grant Thornton, speaking from Chicago. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We are much more worried about politics these days than we are about the economy, although the economy is not off the radar. That's from a poll taken between Thanksgiving and Christmas by a unit of our parent company. It's called the APM Research Lab in association with academic researchers. The poll was in search of hope versus worry, with more on this mood of the nation. Let's turn to Eric Plutzer, a professor of political science at Penn State. Thanks for joining us.
Happy to be here, David.
A majority of Americans said they were extremely worried about where the country's headed, and hope in the future was not in large supply in this survey. Were you surprised?
I don't think we were surprised by the levels, but I do think we were surprised by the types of things that Americans told us they were worried about.
Well, COVID, of course, but what about hope or worry about the economy, given super-duper low unemployment at the point that you were checking?
Yeah, people are not very concerned about jobs, they're not very concerned about unemployment, but they are very concerned about prices, inflation, and so overall, the economy was the main policy area that concerned Americans.
But it was interesting, I was looking at your data, the economy didn't rank all that high, just as a general subject. People are worried about other things.
Yes, we were very surprised. People are certainly concerned about COVID, they're concerned about the economy, they're concerned about international affairs, but they view keeping their power, if they're Democrats, or getting their power back as Republicans as their main concern.
I could just imagine, Professor, when you're planning this survey in advance and you're thinking, okay, it's going to be November 30th through December the 7th, and, you know, we'll be going into the holidays, I'll find some hope. And then, of course, Omicron is bannered across every headline during your survey.
Yes, that certainly must have put a damper on things. And what I would say is that on the hope side, we had very few people that were extremely hopeful. But we also didn't hit our all-time high for people that couldn't name anything. In previous surveys, one in 2016, for example, when we asked people what they were hopeful about, 4 in 10 couldn't name a single thing. So very few people said they were extremely hopeful. But most people could come up with something, and they might be a little hopeful, somewhat hopeful. And so I would say that basically the country is really worried, but cautiously optimistic. And it's possible for them to hold both of those ideas at the same time.
Eric Plutzer is director of polling for Penn State's McCourtney Institute for Democracy, speaking to us about the results of his new survey in collaboration with the APM Research Lab. It's called Mood of the Nation. APM Research Lab is part of the same company that produces this program, Marketplace. Dr. Plutzer, thank you.
It's been my pleasure, David.
Now, this poll found a bit more hopefulness among older people. One theory is those with more life experience may have more perspective along the lines of this too shall pass. Crude oil is above $82 a barrel this morning, just off a two-month high. It's high in part because demand is increasing as the world economy grows. This price helps producers, but domestic ones are having trouble hiring. Marketplace's Andy Euler now on employers in the oil fields of the Permian Basin in West Texas.
Employment in the U.S. oil field services sector was just shy of 600,000 positions in September. Now, that sounds like a good chunk of jobs, but it's 62,000 less than before the pandemic. Executives with oil service companies in the Permian Basin tell me that there's lots of competition among employers for qualified workers and that the pool of applicants is shrinking, too. Historically, when oil ticked up to $80 a barrel, people lined up for jobs in the oil patch, even relocated from out of state to Midland and Odessa, Texas for them. Nowadays, whether it's the Great Resignation or more jobs shifting to automation, it seems that there just aren't as many people anxious to work in oil and gas. Now, that has large implications for tax revenue in West Texas as well. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
Shares of Biogen took a tumble after word came yesterday that Medicare wants to put limits on what it'll pay for Biogen's new Alzheimer's drug. This is preliminary, with a final Medicare ruling due in April after some public input. Marketplace's Lily Jamali has more.
Medicare's decision to only cover the FDA-approved drug Aduhelm in clinical trials marks a break from common practice. That's according to Washington University law professor Rachel Sachs, who says Medicare is sending a strong message.
That just because the FDA approves the drug doesn't mean Medicare has to reimburse for it.
Aduhelm's approval by the FDA last summer was controversial, resulting in the resignations of 3 of 11 members of an independent advisory committee. Many physicians still question the Alzheimer's drug's benefits, including Stanford neurology professor Michael Gracius.
The evidence to date suggests that it doesn't work in terms of improving clinical outcomes.
The industry trade group Pharma called Medicare's announcement a setback for patients suffering from Alzheimer's. Biogen, which declined an interview request, vowed in a statement to challenge Medicare's decision. I'm Lily Jamali for Marketplace.
And I'm David Brancaccio. You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.